A suburban close of semi-detached houses. From one of them emerges Colin Armstrong, a middle-aged man, his wife Jackie and two kids, Brooke and Liam. Colin kisses Jackie before bounding over to a silver Volkswagen Golf. He strokes it lovingly, then gets in. He gives the thumbs up and drives the Golf out onto the street and backs it up to their neighbours, the Scotts. Robson Green, Mark Benton, Nicola Stevenson, Maxine Peake.
Lovely Golf.
The neighbours, Howard and Pauline. Pauline and Jackie's dad, Eric, calls over.
Morning, Pauline.
Hi, Dad. Morning, Dad.
Morning, Jackie.
Morning, Granddad.
Colin and Howard drive over to Eric in the Golf, which has one door sprayed slightly the wrong shade of silver. As Eric tries to get in the car, Colin drives forward a bit.
You are a pair of silly socks.
Eric gets in the car and they drive off. The title, Christmas Lights, appears as if on a Christmas tree decoration. Written by Bob Mills and Jeff Pope. Produced by Spencer Campbell. Directed by Paul Seed. The Golf drives down a quiet suburban street.
Come on then, what do you think?
It's nice.
It's fully loaded, Howard. Leather seats, CD player, walnut trim.
Howard tries not to look too impressed.
You're a bit warm there in the back, Eric. Don't worry.
There you go. That's better for you.
It's flipping freezing.
Oh, you're cold?
Shut it then.
The sunroof.
No problem at all. Just one touch and it's sorted. I don't know how you manage with that windy one you've got on yours.
I'm going to do that all the time.
Especially with a new car.
It's a nice car, OK? Really nice used car.
Now, here we go.
I mean, you know, I'm presuming they knocked a bit off one of the doors not matching.
What are you talking about?
What back door there? It's been replaced, you can tell.
Alarmed, Colin pulls the Golf to an abrupt halt and gets out to have a look at the mismatched paint on the back door.
Where? Go on, you show me where that's different.
Well, there. It's a different shade.
No, that's your eyesight. It's metallic paint. In a certain light, it's two-tone.
Oh, yeah, right, Cole.
You're just jealous.
Jealous? What of a second-hand car?
Oi, get back in the flipping car.
As Colin walks around the car, he sneaks an uneasy look at the mismatched door. He gets in the driver's seat, and they set off again.
Like a couple of big kids arguing all the flipping time. This is one thing I won't miss next week.
Why, Eric? What's happening next week, like?
I'm retiring, aren't I?
No, are you? I didn't know that. Did you know that?
Well, no one told me.
Or me?
You should have told us, Eric. We'd have organised a cake or something.
Fancy that, him retiring after all these years. Eric, you're filling up, man.
All right, that's enough.
They're a silly sons.
At Sherpa Freight, Gibbo puts a coin in an envelope.
50p?
Well, I'm on a budget, you know, Christmas coming up.
Eric's been a good gaffer to you, Lance.
All right. Here, there's a pound.
Hi, June.
Hiya.
Yeah, June, quick question. What's the stupidest thing you can buy?
Just drop it, will you?
I can tell you that. Anything brand name. Baked beans, soup, you know, biscuits. That no-frill stuff, just as good.
No, shut up, Gibbo. June, what's the one thing you buy that depreciates most in value in the first couple of years? Like a car.
Well, a car.
Thank you.
You just told her to say that.
Didn't need to tell her anything. Works in the office. Understands finances.
Pathetic.
Eric appears.
Come along, you lot. You gonna stand around here all day? Let's get these bands out, shall we?
Eric seethes at the chorus.
See you later, then.
Oh, yeah, first time.
The workforce, including Colin and Howard, get in their delivery vans and start their engines. A procession of vans makes its way out of the depot onto the road. As the last van drives out of the yard, a red Toyota pickup laden with Christmas trees makes its way in. Howard pulls his van up at the curb on a high street. Colin drives along in his van and later makes a delivery to someone's front door. Howard makes a delivery to a building site.
They really set the place off, they're nice. Anyway, let's be off.
Oh, sorry, I haven't got time. Thanks anyway. Ta-da.
Colin fills in some paperwork and drinks a takeout coffee in the cab of his van. Howard gets back on the road. Colin makes a delivery to a company called Margolis Lighting and Electronics. He steps inside and discovers a winter wonderland of tacky festive illuminations.
The glitch, we both know what that is, my boy. That is not a glitch. That is an outrage. No wonder they sent it back. God save us. He's supposed to stand outside the grotto, pat the kiddies on the head and say, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, well, that's sort of what he does.
Is it sort of?
A life-size wanking Santa. Oh. Everyone glares at Colin.
Are you a package for Mr. Margolis?
The irritable Orthodox Jewish man comes over and signs for the package.
Thanks. They'll have me arrested. Ruined.
Colin grins at the wanking Santa.
It just needs a bit of adjustment, that's all.
Howard drives along a road in his van. He notices a Motor Chef restaurant up ahead and checks his watch. In the Motor Chef, Colin sits alone at a table, secretively drawing a festive lighting plan on a napkin. Howard makes his way into the Motor Chef, which is draped in festive decorations. He greets a waitress.
Hi, Granny.
Hello.
Hi.
Where have you been? It's nearly half four.
Working, delivering parcels. What have you done? More or less.
Yeah, Howard, love.
Thanks.
I've saved you a couple of mince pies.
Thanks, Bernie.
Hey, I wouldn't mind a couple of them.
They're the last ones. And anyway, you've had enough.
I think you're in there, Howard.
Ah, nah. Not interested. Sold all my wild oats years ago.
Wild oats? Don't remember any wild oats.
Yeah, you'd be surprised a lot you don't remember.
Well, I remember all the women you've slept with, Howard, because I've met both of them. One you married and the other was Karen Hotchkiss. And we know what happened there.
What?
She got off with you just before Christmas, so you buy her a present. And then she dumped you in the new year.
Yeah, well, that was a mutual decision. We both realised we were too young for a long-term relationship.
She married Kenny Painter 6 weeks later.
Could come as a bit of a shock, I grant you that.
Anyway, can't sit around here all day.
Where are you going?
I'm going into town.
What for?
I'm looking for some Christmas lights.
You can't put any more lights on that tree. It'd be a fire hazard.
No. Look. I'm thinking of doing the outside of the house. You can get some fantastic stuff nowadays.
Work out expensive, all that, you know.
No, you can get all cheap up the market. Why don't you come with me, Howard, have a look?
Nah. To be honest, Cole, we're not going to bother much this year. Me and Pauline have talked it over and, well, we're going to go away for Christmas this year.
Go away where?
Lanzarote.
Colin nods.
Miserable get. That's horrible. How can you not have Christmas, Howard? The Christmas dinner. On film? Dinner quality street?
Yeah, well, that's it. That's why I don't want to get involved. All that greed and spending money. We just want a week in the sun away from it all.
She's really scarred you, hasn't she?
Who?
Karen Hotchkiss.
That night, Colin switches on the Christmas lights on his house.
Wow! They're fantastic!
Very nice.
They're fantastic, aren't they, kids?
Yeah, they're brilliant. And we're the only ones in the street who've got him.
Of course we are. We always have the best Christmases in this house, don't we? Oh, yeah. Guess what I found out today? You are not going to believe this. What do you reckon Howard and your sister have got planned for Christmas,
A week in Lanzarote. She told me ages ago. Go on inside, you two. Your tea's ready.
I cannot understand it. How can anyone want to go away at Christmas?
I know, I told her. I said you must be mad, sitting on a beach when you could be stuck in a kitchen cooking and cleaning.
Exactly. Lads are ruddy.
The next day at work with Gibbo...
£3?
Aye.
I don't think you can get £3 turkeys.
I think they've sold you an oven-ready budgie there, Gibbo.
No, no, it'll be okay. I mean, Mam and Dad don't like turkey, and Rosemary's not a big fan, so it's just for me and the kids. As long as you give them plenty of vegetables, which is good for them.
You should spend Christmas with Howie.
Eric.
Come along, you two. How long do you want for lunch?
Let's get these fans out, shall we?
Eric. You seen Howard?
Howard's been called in to see Mr. Guthrie now. Come on, vamoose!
Hey, hey, you don't reckon they caught him, do you?
You what?
Afternoon tea breaks and a mortar chef.
You might be right, Gibble. I warned him about that time and time again.
So, we'll make an announcement tomorrow, shall we?
Yeah, okay, if you say so, Mr. Guthrie.
Very good.
Howard smiles half-heartedly, then looks uncertain. That night, Colin drives up outside his house and backs the Golf onto his drive. Colin looks over at Howard in the passenger seat as he undoes his seatbelt.
Are you going to tell me what it was about then?
What?
You're meeting with Guthrie.
Oh, that, Well, it's, with Eric leaving and that, they're just...
What?
Well, they're just talking to me about who's going to replace him.
Colin nods, then frowns.
Why would they talk to you about that?
Look, they wanted to know if I put my name forward for the job.
Colin looks unpleasantly surprised, then smiles.
Well, I hope you told them to stuff it, because they're just taking the piss, Howard.
Why?
Well, they have to have an internal candidate, don't they? It's just for show. But at the end of the day, they'll bring someone in from another depot straight over our heads.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, come on. They're not going to give it to you, are they? Eh?
They have.
What?
Guthrie offered it me today. I said I'd take it. He's going to make an announcement in the morning.
Colin and Pauline.
Of course, you know what this is all about, don't you?
What?
Jackie, even when we were kids back home, he was always following me around trying to get into my gang.
Oh, when I first met you, it was, can you get us a date with a sister?
Ever since we've moved down here, he has been eaten up with jealousy.
How'd you work that out?
Well, come on. I've got a prettier wife. I've got the kids. I've got the nicer house. Nicer car. You can't stand it. So now he's going to try and lord it over me at work. If he thinks for 1 minute I'm taking orders off him, he can forget it.
Don't be silly. And put them away there for Christmas.
No, I'm too angry.
Eric.
Only me.
Hiya, Dad. Your tea's ready.
Oh!
Here he is. Judas.
Eric's smile slips.
Go on, pull it out.
It's right in the middle.
Right, there it is.
There it is. Buried up to the handle. It's the knife I'm talking about. In my back.
Eric ignores him and goes.
Pull yourself together.
Liam and Brooke are playing cards.
Snap.
Did you see our lights, Grandad?
You did. Just like Blackpool Illuminations.
Can't wait for the electric bill.
So, you knew all about this then, did you?
They did ask me for my opinion, aye. And I said I thought you'd do a very good job.
Mm-hmm. And what about me?
What about you?
Well, what did you say when they asked you about me?
They didn't.
Colin looks crestfallen.
Oh, I see. Well, they wouldn't, would they? Because I'm not a suck-up. They know I wouldn't sell my mates down the river.
Mates? What mates?
My real mates. Ronnie, Billy Stewart, Gibbo.
Listen, you and Howie have been mates all your lives.
Yeah? Well, not anymore, we're not.
Have you had a row with Uncle Howie?
Now, you're not to call him that anymore. It's Mr. Scott now. He's one of the bosses.
Well, you seem fine about it.
What did he say?
Well, nothing really. He just went a bit quiet. I think Cole just wants different things out of life. He doesn't want the pressures at work. He's happy with his football, nice pint, kids.
Pauline gives his hand a reassuring squeeze.
Yeah.
She hands him a present.
Sis?
He opens it and finds it contains a leather briefcase.
It's beautiful.
Well, your management now.
She gives him a kiss. The next morning, Colin drives the Golf out onto the road and backs it up to Howard's house. As Howard approaches, clutching his new briefcase, Colin drives off. He speeds away past Eric, waiting at the end of his garden path. Pauline turns to Howard.
So he's fine about it, is he?
Come on.
I think your dad might be in need of a lift as well.
Later, Pauline is sitting in a coffee shop nursing a cup of coffee. Jackie comes in pushing baby Leighton in his pushchair.
Hiya.
Hiya.
Hello.
Just getting a few last minute bits for Christmas. I'm glad when it's all over.
Me too.
Oh, and you've just bought a bikini, haven't you?
Cow.
Can I get you anything?
Oh, can I have a large tea, please? Thanks. So how's everything going with Harry?
Go ahead.
Yeah? Good. Listen, I'm really pleased for him, honestly, I am.
Well, I'm glad somebody is.
Oh, you know what Colin's like. It's understandable in a way.
I think he's been very childish.
Well, he's just disappointed he didn't get a chance.
Oh, come on. My Howard works harder, never takes time off sick, and doesn't spend 2 hours an afternoon sat in the motor chef.
Plus, he's always been more of a crawler.
You mean he knows how to be polite with people rather than winding them up all the time?
Right, I'm going.
Oh, sit down. Please. I'm sorry. Look, it's just a stupid job. A couple more quid a week. It's not worth rowing about. Come on. You and the kids. You've all we've got. Please don't let's fall out.
Jackie flashes a conciliatory smile. That night, Colin is at the bar in a working men's club with Gibbo. Colin gets a tray of drinks as Gibbo counts his change.
No, you're unscrewing me, would you?
Colin joins Eric, Pauline and Jackie.
Eric. Thanks for that, guys.
Where's Howie's drink?
He's talking to Mr. Guthrie. I didn't want to disturb him.
Hey, I've told you. Go on.
Colin goes over to Howard and Mr. Guthrie.
Mr. Guthrie, can I get you and your lovely daughter here a drink?
Thank you very much, young man. Mild and bitter, please. And a small scotch for me.
Mr. Scott?
Thanks, Colin. Hell of a lager.
Go and help him. Go and help him. What? Go and help him!
Right.
Mild and bitter, lager and a whiskey, please.
An awkward-looking Howard joins Colin at the bar.
Right. Yeah.
They don't make eye contact.
Another 30 years and this'll be you. Look, Howard, I'm sorry if I've been a bit...
What?
Well, you know, a bit...
Well, pathetic. Infantile, immature.
All right, stick it then!
Colin glares straight ahead. Portly Howard rolls his eyes and mouths shit in self-chastisement. They both pick up their pints and sip them. All is awkwardness between them.
Hey, I've seen your lights. They look good, really good.
Just a bit of fun.
Yeah, well, brighten the place up. You're right.
Colin glances at Howard out of the corner of his eye.
So how's the new job?
Oh, it's all right. More hours than I thought. We've done a lot of the paperwork, financial planning. Stuff Eric never got involved with.
I saw that coming. That's why I made it very clear to Guthrie when Eric said he was leaving. I wasn't interested.
Oh, really?
Oh, I stuck in an office all day. Can't be doing that. Freedom of the open road. Fresh air.
Water chef.
I don't know. Anyway, what I was trying to say was... Well done, Howard.
Howard beams.
Cheers.
They clink glasses.
Oh, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I could just have your attention for a moment.
Go on, Eric, you're going to stand there all day.
Well, let's get that speech out, shall we?
Thank you.
A woman buys fruit at a market stall. Colin comes out of a shop and goes over to a stall selling a selection of tacky festive lights. The stall holder smiles over at him.
All right, Charlie. Had another think about it.
No, not at that price.
A light-up Santa.
Just have a couple of them white stars.
Okie dokie. Listen, it's the last one there. Doing you for 20.
Nah, she'd do a nut.
Yes, she would. What are you doing, you? I thought I told you no more lights.
They're not for me.
Cheers, Merry Christmas.
They're for Pauline and Howard. I know they're going away, but thought they might like them.
Oh,
That's really sweet.
Well, you know me.
The family walk off together. That evening, Howard is looking out of his window watching the close. As Colin's Golf hoves into view, his face lights up. Colin parks up, and he and family get out of the car.
But I want a Man United shirt.
Well, Santa can't bring you a Man United shirt, can he? He supports Newcastle, everyone knows that.
Howard's house is illuminated with festive lights.
What the...
Ta-da!
Wow, it's fantastic!
When did you do all this?
Oh, don't ask me. The Grinch suddenly went mad this morning.
What do you think? Not bad, eh?
Very nice.
I thought about what you said about getting into the Christmas spirit and that.
I suppose they are quite pretty.
You had to do it, didn't you?
What?
Well, it's not enough just to copy me like you always do. You have to try and humiliate me in front of my kids.
Going into Auntie Pauline's, you two.
Yeah, go and get a chocolate for Tria.
What are you talking about?
Well, come on, everybody! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Look at Howard's lights! Oh, he's got a better job than me. He earns more money.
Colin!
Oh, Carl, it's Christmas. What happened to peace on earth and goodwill to all men?
Stuff it. You want to turn this into a competition, Howard? It's fine by me.
What are you talking about? I'm not competing with anyone.
No, come on. You've got the better job, better car. So what's next, eh? Well, perhaps if it's all right with the bank manager, maybe you can afford to start having kids now.
Colin, shut up!
Well, mark my words, Jackie. They'll probably have four now so he can say he's done one better than me.
Upset, Pauline heads back into the house. Howard glares at Colin.
Nice one, Colin.
He follows Pauline back inside. Jackie glares at Colin.
You are such a tosser.
She follows Howard and Pauline into their house, leaving Colin out in the cold on his own. 1 year later, Jackie and Colin are watching the children's school nativity show. Jackie turns to a couple making their way towards them.
Sorry, I'm taken. Sorry.
The couple move on, and Jackie waves to Howard and Pauline as they come in. Howard is wearing a suit. They make their way over to Jackie and Colin. Jackie and Pauline hug. Colin gives Howard a grudging cursory nod. Howard's mobile rings. Liam.
Behold, on Christmas Eve, a star's risen in the east. Joseph and the Virgin Mary arrive at Bethlehem.
Brooke is Mary.
Can you please help us? I'm heavy with child and we've travelled many miles across the desert.
I'm sorry, but we are full. Perhaps you could try the inn
next door. If it had just gone up to the inn, then they could have had a couple of girls who really are up the door.
There was no room in the inn, so they had to have the baby in the stable with an ox and
A teacher prompts.
And an ass.
Colin, Jackie, Howard and Pauline all smirk. After the show, they talk to Liam and Brooke.
Ah, you were brilliant, mate. Were you nervous?
Nah, you just stand there and say stuff.
You're the best thing in it. Apart from your sister, obviously.
Brooke Armstrong.
Hold baby Jesus a minute for me, Pauline.
Come in, mate.
Howard eyes Pauline holding the baby.
Yeah, I'll best be off.
But you're going back in?
Oh, yeah, I got a big meeting with Guthrie and the area manager.
Right. Jackie was wondering, you know, like, because we've not spent much time together this year, if you and Pauline fancied coming on a bit of a Christmas night out. You know, something traditional. Maybe a curry? Tonight. After the switching on ceremony?
Jackie was wondering, was she?
Well, no. Me as well. So what do you want, Howard? Do you want me to ask you out on a date like a bird? All right. Will you go out with me, Howard?
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it, Pauline?
Yeah, we'd love to. Dad said he'd babysit.
See you later, love. Well done, kidda.
Yeah.
Oh, sod. He's rushed off his feet at the moment.
Oh, aye, Christmas. Busiest time of year. Absolute madness.
You going back in, then?
No point now, is there?
Howard and Mr. Guthrie look through some documents in the office, while another suited man sits sipping a mug of tea.
When you say he irrationalised, Mr. Buchanan...
Martin.
What you actually mean is, get rid, don't you?
Oh, come on now.
What he means is yes.
It's the same all over the region. I've had this meeting 4 times in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but these are mainly family men, Martin. With Christmas coming up. They're hard workers, pucker lads.
Well, puckerness notwithstanding, I'm afraid 2 of them have got to go.
Back on the close that night...
I don't want my cummins pie.
Children help themselves.
Hey, come on now, only 3 each.
Puckerness notwithstanding. He actually said that?
Yeah.
He sounds like a right poms. I hope you told him where to stuff it.
No, I didn't. Oh, you're getting as bad as him. If you're management, Polly, you have to make tough decisions. That's what the salary and the company car's all about.
All right. But these are your mates you're talking about, Howard. You can't just sack them.
I know that. Don't you think I know that, Pauline?
Right, OK.
Colin runs over.
Everyone's ready. Ladies and gentlemen, these lights will be on public display from now until the 6th of January. Not yet. Switching on and off automatically between the hours of 7 p.m. and midnight.
Come on, hurry up, it's cold.
For tonight's ceremony, we are very, very lucky to have procured, at enormous expense, a very lovely lady...
Pauline, hurry up!
All right, plug it in, Jackie. Plug it in.
She does and nothing happens.
Both plugs, like we're rehearsed.
He gives her a hand and the house lights up with multiple festive illuminations to the delight of the assembled crowd. Gibbo and Howard applaud. Colin gives Jackie a kiss. There are stars, twinkling electric icicles and inflatable Santas in the front garden. Colin, Jackie, Howard and Pauline are all in the curry house.
£540 it's cost us this year, him and his lights. And that's what he tells me about. Wouldn't mind if he had another woman, at least it'd be a bit cheaper.
It's funny, yeah. Firstly, if I may, they're not my lights, they're for the kids. And secondly, what you don't understand, it's what's called a one-off capital expenditure.
Capital expenditure.
Yeah, Howard will bear me out here. OK, I may have invested heavily this year, but you've got to weigh that up against the pleasure it's going to bring in the next 30 years. Because every Christmas I shall get them out and put them up again. In fact, I'm not sure it's worth taking them there.
Don't even think about it. Yeah.
How about you, Howard? Got any plans this year?
What?
Lights.
Oh, no. We can't compete. Not this year. You've taken it to an all new level.
Really?
No, what she means is, as per usual, you've gone completely over the top.
Over the top. Howard, please.
No, they're great. I mean, Jackie might be right, you know. All that expense. Maybe you should just be a bit more, you know, just...
What?
Well, you know, just more careful. I mean, not just you. Everyone should be more careful.
Yeah. Ah!
No. I'll get the bill.
Hey! No, don't be silly. We invited you. It's our treat, and I insist we split it 50-50 right down the middle. Anyway, me and the lads reckon we know what your meeting with Buchanan was all about.
Do you?
All right. Increased profits. Christmas bonuses! Hey! Anyway. Fair play. I know you can't say anything.
Asher, could we have our coats? And Howard wants the bill.
A bit later, Howard's company BMW 3 Series drives into the close and parks up on his drive. He, Pauline, Colin and Jackie all get out of the car.
Coming in?
Oh, no, I best go and see if Dad's all right.
Oh, well, listen, you two, that was lovely tonight. Thank you. Can't remember the last time I went out and had a really good laugh.
Hey, thought you were out all the time now. You know, hobnobbing.
What, golf clubs and rotary suppers? Load of ponches making speeches.
You've had some good nights.
What? I lit a fag before the toast of the Queen. You'd have thought I'd spattered the gravy boot. Night, kids.
See you tomorrow. Night, Howie.
Night.
The women go in. Colin admires the BMW.
It's a lovely motor, the 3 Series. My dream car.
That's just a company car.
No. You've worked hard for it, Howard. Credit where credit's due.
Look, if you ever want to take her for a ride, just say the word.
Yeah?
Yeah, of course.
Cheers.
They both beam happily.
Hey, looking fantastic this year, the old lights.
Yeah? Yeah, maybe Jackie's right. Maybe they are a bit over the top.
No, they're not.
No, they're not, are they?
No. Well, maybe just a bit.
Maybe a tad.
Yes.
They stare at the illuminations, then Colin turns back to Howard and smiles.
See you tomorrow, Howard.
All right, mate.
Howard watches as Colin heads into his house. As he does so, the kids come out.
Hi, Dad.
Did you miss me?
Yeah, just a bit. Only
those
horses was on with the chandelier. Should have seen it.
Howard suddenly looks serious. Inside, he looks through paperwork and sips a scotch. Pauline looks in on him.
Hey, love.
Hiya. Hey.
She puts her arms around him and gives him a kiss.
I felt terrible tonight. Sitting there knowing what I know and not being able to say anything.
She sits down.
You don't think Colin will be one of the ones to go, do you?
Oh, you know what he's like, Pauline. He's a good worker when he gets going, but he spends so much time asking about.
My God. What will they do? They've got three kids.
Calm down. Might not come to that. I've had an idea. Something Colin said about capital expenditure. Go on, you go up.
Okay. Don't be long.
She disappears off upstairs. Howard returns to his paperwork and his laptop. He drains his glass of scotch and carries on working. Next door, the Christmas lights automatically switch themselves off, and the giant inflatable Santas in the garden slowly deflate and collapse. In the office.
Well, it's certainly an ingenious idea, Howard. Fire all the drivers, then re-employ them as owner drivers.
We sell them the vans at a favourable price, then subcontract man and vehicle at an agreed daily rate.
We'll cut down on running costs. Improved cash flow. What do you think, Len? Think the boys will go for it?
I'm sure they will, Martin. They'll be their own boss. The harder they work, the more they learn.
Aye, and the more they skive and go off sick, the less they learn. I can think of a few who won't be very happy with that.
Yeah, but what's their option? Kick two of the mates out of a job?
It's your party. If you think you can get this past the men, then I'm in. And if it works here, perhaps we can introduce it at the other depots. Well done, Howard. Very well done.
At a meeting...
I'm sorry, Mr. G, but you've got to be having a laugh here, haven't you?
All right, Gibbo, tell me exactly what it is you're not happy with.
Well, you're sacking us and then trying to get us to buy a lot of second-hand vans off you.
Look, Gibbo, okay, you have to buy your van, but when you paid for it, it's yours.
Well, it's mine now, isn't it, without paying for it?
No, it's the company's. But you're not really buying it. You're actually being paid to buy it. And you've got enough guaranteed work here to pay for its upkeep.
Yeah, but I'm still paying out. Smell a rat here, fellas.
There's no bloody rat. It's me you're talking to, you're not some suit from head office. Me, Howard. Can't you see how mutually beneficial this could be?
That's just managerial gobbledygook.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, maybe you'd prefer the alternative, which is, let me spell it out for you, two of you lot on the dole. Is that plain enough English for you?
He's just trying to bully us now, lads.
Oh, grow up, Gibbo.
All right, gentlemen. I was worked very hard on these proposals. When you've had a chance to read them properly overnight, we'll talk some more. We'll be speaking to you individually over the next couple of days. Right? Back to work, lads.
Howard glares at Colin.
Hey, Colin.
Colin slowly makes his way over to Howard as the others head out past him.
Thanks for your help.
I didn't say anything.
No, exactly. You never said a word.
What did you expect me to say?
Oh, come on. That lot of pig ignorant. You know this makes sense. What was all that old pals act the other night?
Look, what do you want from me, Howard? Do you want me to lie down while you walk all over us?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I want. I sat up all night thinking of ways to walk all over you, not save your job.
Oh, it's my job you've saved now, is it? Oh, I see.
Well, think about it, Col. Buchanan's talking about making people redundant. Now, when it comes to finding the dead wood... Well...
As Howard makes to go, Colin grabs him.
What is that supposed to mean?
Take it any way you want it. Tell you what, why don't you think about it this afternoon? When you're sitting in the mortar, chef.
Howard storms off. Colin talks to Jackie at home.
I should have smacked him one, that's what I should have done.
Right in the mouth of smug Ponce. Trying to make out it was all about me. My job. Been there longer than anyone else.
He was only doing his job. If it wasn't him, it'd be someone else.
No cake in this house, Jackie.
No.
You should have seen the sneer on his face. Oh. He called me Deadwood.
I should have smacked him right in the mouth of Two-Faced Git.
Not one word of support after all the years we've known each other.
Well, what did you expect?
Colin's not going to support you against his workmates, is he?
I mean, this is what you wanted, Howard. To be the boss.
Be top dog.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
Howard hangs up on Pauline and picks up his car keys. He gets up and grabs his coat and jacket as he goes out. Colin and Jackie.
Have you actually read this?
Oh, of course I have.
Well, the bit about claiming back expenditure against tax.
Well, not all of it.
Well, seems to make a lot of sense to me.
That's not the point.
Could it have been you made redundant?
No.
She gives him a look.
No, well, in theory, I suppose, but that's not the point.
Well, I think it is the point. I think the point is that you could have lost your job, and so could some other poor bloke with a family a week before Christmas. Howard seems to have stopped that happening. I think you should be thanking him.
Thanking him? I'm not thanking him.
Why not?
Because he's such a...
Such a what? Such a mate. Such a good boss. Such a job saver.
All right. All right. All right.
Colin settles down in bed. Jackie turns the light off and gets in beside him. He lies with his eyes open, staring agitatedly into the distance.
I don't know. I've always been the leader of us two. And there he was, standing there, all confident with his plans. It just wasn't Howard.
Jackie moves over to him and snuggles up beside him.
Well, things have changed, love. The bottom line is you should be grateful.
She kisses his neck, then grabs hold of him.
What are you going to do tomorrow?
All right. I'll sort it out with him. Flipping nails on you. Oh. What was that for?
I thought you liked it.
He rolls over and they canoodle together. Outside, at the timer-appointed hour, the Christmas lights go out and the inflatable Santas collapse like a couple of festive drunks. At 3:48 a.m, Colin is roused from his slumbers by the sound of a car starting up. He looks over at the window and notices a light pulsing through the curtains. Colin gets out of bed and totters over to the window. He pulls back the curtains and starts. He pulls the curtain back further and stares wide-eyed. Still in his underwear, Colin steps out of his front door and walks down the front path. He gawps at Howard's house, which is now festooned with blazing Christmas lights, including bells, Christmas trees, and a herd of neon reindeer. He sees Howard is making some final adjustments to the reindeer. Howard stands up and smiles smugly at him, then goes back inside, pausing for one last gloat from the doorway. Colin stands in his underpants, sadly staring at the display, which trumps his own. The next day, Jackie and Eric are round at Pauline's.
He was like a man possessed. Said he just wanted to put a few lights up. 4 o'clock this morning he came to bed. And when I saw it, well, I was in tears. What has he done to my beautiful house? I mean, it looks like...
Mine?
Yeah.
It's like the Americans and the Russians in the 60s.
I mean, we're not not even here for Christmas. Why would he want to do something like this?
Well, I think it might be Colin's fault.
No, he did it all by himself.
No, I mean this work thing. I think Colin might have upset him and this is his way of getting back.
It'll escalate, you'll see, just like the missiles. Each side vying to outdo the other.
And he's ruined the holiday.
How do you mean?
He's only announced he's changed a flight so we can come home early.
Why?
I was on the phone this morning to this bloke, David, from the Rotary Club, and they've arranged to bring a group of disabled kiddies over to see the lights. The day after Boxing Day.
Well, you're not due back till the 28th.
Exactly. But apparently they've got the local papers here, telly, the lot. I just don't know what to do.
Like Cuba all over again.
Dad, shut up!
At the motor chef...
Rosemary went through to me last night and apparently we're not going to be any worse off. In fact, I could be making an extra 15, 20 quid a week. And when you add that with the money the kids earn from the paper round, well, could have an holiday this year.
Colin looks up and Gibbo lowers his eyes.
What did Jackie say?
Well, Jackie? What's it got to do with her?
I best make a move. Now then, Tina's gone. She's not be expecting a tip, will she? Right.
Full load this afternoon?
Yeah, of course you have.
All right for them sitting in the office drinking tea. We're the ones doing all the donkey work, eh?
Yes, hello, Margolis Electronics. Yes, my name's Colin Armstrong. Oh, hi, Morris. Yeah, that quote you gave me. That includes labour and delivery, does it?
Night. An aeroplane touches down on a dark runway. Howard and Pauline sit in the back of a black cab motoring away from the airport. Pauline stares into space with a face like thunder. Howard smiles at her, then looks out of the window. She glares ahead, and doughy-faced Howard turns his head to look at her.
Nice flight, wasn't it?
Not as nice as an extra day by the pool, would it be?
Come on, don't be selfish. Imagine the look on them disabled kids' faces. It'll all be worth it.
Pauline is tight-lipped. Howard rolls his eyes.
It's a bit of a downer, eh? Having to go back to that estate.
It's not an estate. It's a clause.
She shoots him a dirty look, then stares ahead again.
I was having a little chat with Mark and Angus on the hotel tennis court. Yeah, they all live out. Big detached houses, bit of land. They haven't let their old lives hold them back. Maybe we should start looking.
Well, you can if you like.
Some matter now?
Look, you spoil my holiday, you are not going to spoil the rest of my life.
What do you mean?
You're not going to drag me off to live in the middle of nowhere with a load of snobs. I'm happy where I am with my family and my friends.
Yeah, but we've made new friends. Angus and Beverly have invited us over.
They live in Bristol!
Maybe we should spread our wings a bit. Just here, mate, next one on the right. Listen, let's talk about it later. Let's just enjoy this evening, eh? For the kiddies.
The taxi pulls up in the close. The Armstrong's house is illuminated with a magnificent display of Christmas lights.
Don't believe it. Just stop here, mate. Right, get in our house now and get them lights on quick.
Colin speaks into a camera for a news reporter.
Well, it's all about being able to put something back into the local community. And just to see the smiles on the kiddies' faces, well, that's enough for me.
David!
Oh, Howard! Now, this is a triumph. It really is magnificent.
Hey, yeah, there's been a little bit of a balls up with you. Yeah, you're actually in the wrong place.
Well, no, I'm not. No, right.
This is where we want to be, next door. Oh, any time now. Oh, there we are, you see?
Look at that.
Right, well, we'll pop over a bit later. I'm having a bit of a chat with your friend Colin. He's very keen on joining the Rotary Club.
You what? They can't join the Rotary.
You all right, Howard? Have a nice holiday.
Can I have your attention, please, everybody? Say, if you just look over here.
here we are. Handicapped kids are here.
Oh, fantastic. Get some shots of the kids' faces, go on.
Howard sneers at Colin.
Right. Okay.
He stomps over to the arriving minibus and gets in.
You're actually in the wrong place. It's the next house, okay? All right, kids, not long now.
This one isn't safe.
Whoa, 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 stop! Stop! Over there. Get them off here! Get them off!
Drive on!
Colin stands in the way of the minibus.
Helen! Look out!
get out of the way.
Calm yourself down, Howard. You're making an absolute fool of yourself.
I'm making a fool of myself. What's that? Hey, that's not Christmas. What's that all about? A roundabout, a big wheel and a wanking Santa.
Here we are.
That's right. Over there. Make way for them, please.
You're not having these disabled kids because they're mine. I'll take this one. David, if you could get the rest, please. And Howard, I don't think they'd quite like to see the fairground.
No, they wouldn't.
Camera crew, this way, please.
Come on, son. You want to have a ride on the big wheel?
He doesn't want a ride on the big wheel, thanks.
He does.
No, he doesn't. No, come on, then.
They fight over a child in a wheelchair.
He bites me! He bites me!
This is the most humiliating night of my life. And mine.
Howard wrenches Colin back by his hair, then Colin socks Howard in the Ghoulies. Cameras roll as their wives rush over. Colin and Howard fall about wrestling. Jackie and Pauline separate them.
Just look at you both fighting in the street! This has gone far enough, it's got to stop right now!
Momentarily placated and held apart by their wives, Colin and Howard exchange a look, then go for each other. Parted again by their wives, Colin and Howard glower at each other. 6 months later, June sits opposite Howard at his desk at Sherpa Freight.
Days lost to sickness and injury down by 12%. Mechanical failure down 28%.
Good.
Figures for last month are looking good. Keith, 147 deliveries. Gordon, 138. Gibbo, 122. They're all holding the numbers. Colin, 92.
Thanks, June. I'll go through them later.
He takes the document and looks down at the table.
You all right? You look worn out.
Oh, no, I'm fine. It's just the weather, I think. I strained me back somehow.
Pauline's given Jackie some children's clothes.
Oh, they're lovely. You shouldn't go buying him stuff, you know. Especially now you're not working. It's all right. What's the matter with you? You look knackered. I've not been getting much sleep.
Oh, no, you mean me neither. It's this weather. It's getting muggy, isn't it?
Well, it's partly the weather and partly...
What?
We've been at it like rabbits. We've been really going for it this year.
Oh.
Well, don't tell Colin, will you? I always made me promise. That's why I've given up my job. He said, I don't want you having any stresses or strains. Just concentrate on making babies.
Pauline starts to cry.
It'll happen, but it's been so long. When I go in these shops and I see all these beautiful kiddie clothes. Come here.
They hug. Jackie turns on hearing a noise.
What the hell's that?
Workmen are outside.
What's going on?
Colin's on a ladder.
Hello.
He climbs down.
Thought you were picking the kids up.
No, Dad's picking them up. What's going on?
Nothing.
Oh, for God's sake.
You've got to plan ahead. These blokes are busy already. Very lucky to get them.
Hiya. What are you up to?
Nothing.
They exchange a look.
Nothing at all.
Okay. Well, I'll see you later, Jackie.
See you later.
Bye.
Shh, careful. Don't want her sniffing around, giving him ideas.
You promised me you weren't going to go mad this year.
I'm not going mad. People have come to expect something a little bit special from me. And you can bet your life he's got big things planned.
Jackie shakes her head and goes inside. October. Besuited Howard pulls away from the offices in his silver BMW as Colin pulls up in a white Sherpa freight van. Colin climbs out and looks about the car park.
Hey, June. Where's he going?
Going home, he's got a bad back.
What, from sitting in a chair? Should try working for a living. Hey, June. Has Howard asked you about any storage facilities? Empty warehouses, anything like that? You know, somewhere he could hide something big.
No.
He looks her in the eye.
But would you tell me if he had?
At the motor chef, Colin sits at a table strewn with documents. He's on his mobile.
Terry, that sounds great. You do know, don't you, that it's not just a one-off? Oh, no, I need this to happen every night for 12 nights. How will you see? That's the challenge.
Oi, you've got another call on our payphone. I told you my boss don't like you giving that number out.
Terry, could I put you on hold?
Can you do this at home?
No, I can't.
So, Terry, can you get me a price? Wednesday by the latest. Because I have to start rigging next week. Okay. Who is it?
It's a Mr. Margolis. About some fluorescent Aladdin.
Ah, yeah, forgot about that. Oh, I don't know if that'll clash with the fireworks. Tell him I'll call him back.
To waiting patrons.
Sorry, won't keep you long now.
Aladdin.
A sign on a black van reads Margolis Lighting and Electronics. It's parked outside the Armstrongs. Colin signs for a delivery.
Cheers, Tony. Best of luck, mate.
Colin slams the van door shut and gives it a tap. The driver pulls away. Colin crosses the lawn past scattered cable drums and enters the house where lamps and cables litter the living room.
Right, let's have another look at you, shall we?
An electric light.
The cobalt insulation should be fixed to the brackets above the earth conduit. Well, this is what I mean. What brackets? I don't give you any brackets.
You two, you go down, OK? See you later.
Jackie to the kids.
You off out?
Yeah, going to Dad's.
Time you coming back?
That's up to you, isn't it?
She tosses him a letter.
It's coming this morning from the Builders' Society.
He turns it in his hands.
Right. I was going to talk to you about this.
You swine. That was for their future. For when they were 18, a nice nest egg, you said. So they could buy a car or go off around the world or something. And you've stolen it.
No, hang on. It was just sitting there, and it's not working for them. The interest rate's rubbish.
Shut up! Just shut up!
I was going to put it back.
Oh, yes, you are going to put it back. In fact, the only thing that's going to stop me from walking out of here tonight is if you promise to put back every penny you've taken from that account.
Of course.
And you gather up all this crap and you drive me down the dump with me.
Oh, come on, Jackie. I can't throw everything out. It's worth hundreds. Thousands.
What are we worth? Me and the kids, eh?
Jackie.
Colin.
Come on, Jackie. He's been rubbing my nose in it all year and I just want to beat him. And that'll be it, I promise.
What are you talking about, beat him? He's not fighting you. You just can't cope with him having the better job and the better money. So you've made up this competition that you think you're going to win. But it doesn't even exist, except in your head. You're paranoid, man.
Oh, I see. Paranoid. It's obvious whose side you're on.
He sits down and turns his back, a slighted look on his face. She stares at him.
Yeah. I'm on my side. Mine and my kids. Sort yourself out, Colin.
He watches her walk out of the room beneath a coil of cable hung over the top corner of the living room door. His face drops and he stares blankly, his eyes lowered. A nurse crosses the waiting room of a doctor's surgery, past a quiet Howard and Pauline.
All right. How are you feeling?
Oh, all right, yeah. Beck's feeling much better today.
They smile at each other, then glance in opposite directions. Howard looks sad.
Nervous.
A little bit. But I just think if there's something wrong with me, I want to know, so we can start to do something about it. Hey.
Howard squeezes her hand and she takes a deep breath. A doctor appears.
Mr. and Mrs. Scott, please.
Gaunt, moustachioed Eric rounds the gable end of the Armstrongs' house and looks up at Colin, who stands high up on some scaffolding, drilling holes in a plank of wood.
You all right, lad?
Still at it then, are you?
Yeah. Nearly there. The kids are going to be really excited this year.
I think they'd be more excited if they could have their parents back together.
I've been over there, I've spoken to her. What am I supposed to do?
Take it all down, lad, like she asked you to.
Oh, come on, Eric, it's only a few lights.
A few lights? Listen to yourself. This is exactly what I said. America and Russia all over.
What do you mean?
The arms race. The build-up to mutual destruction. But your problem is, he's America. Unlimited budget. You're Russia. Bankrupting yourself in pursuit of folly.
Well, maybe you're right, but what can I do? I've got to show everyone once and for all that this is my thing and I can do it better than anyone else.
But you've got no to beat, lad. He's not doing anything this year.
Come on, Eric, think about it. What was the most important thing about the arms race? Secrecy. And that's where he's got the advantage over me.
You can afford to have it all assembled at a hidden location, then have it trucked in at the last minute when it'll be too late for me to react. That's the game he's playing! I promise you.
Are you sure?
I've done all I can, I've asked around. But they're not going to betray him, are they? They're all in this together. You could help.
How do you mean?
Yeah, no one will suspect you, will they? The loving granddad popping round for a cup of tea. It's the perfect cover. All you have to do is look for any secret documents or receipts, or any little notes he's made, and report back to me.
You're cracking up, you are.
Wearing a furry hat and clutching his drill like a handgun, Colin looks down on a bewildered Eric, who double takes as he turns and goes. Night. With her handbag slung over one shoulder, middle-aged June is locking up at the Sherpa Freight offices. She peers into Howard's office and shuts off the light. She closes the door and strolls away down a darkened corridor. As she goes, the door opens again and Colin peers out. He looks left and right, then goes back inside. Closing the door behind him, Colin switches on an angled poised desk lamp and riffles through a folder. At the Scots, Jackie and Eric sit with a teary-eyed Pauline. Colin bursts in.
Thought I might find you here. Right, sorry, but I just wanted to check something with you, Jackie. What was that word you used about me? Paranoid, wasn't it? Unjustified sense of persecution. Right, okay. Well, I just wanted to show you this, actually. It's a receipt from a company called Kayleys. Storage facilities, lockups and that. Now, why would Mr. Howard Scott, manager of one of the largest depots in the area, want to take out extra storage space from somewhere else? Eh? Unless he's got something that he wants to keep a secret. Now, that's the question, eh? What has he got? What has he got that he doesn't want me to know about?
Pauline stares into space.
Cancer.
Pauline turns to look Colin in the eye.
He's got cancer.
Shaking and suddenly wide-eyed, Colin glances at Jackie and Eric. Pauline sits with Jackie in a hospital waiting area.
We were just supposed to get the results of these tests, you know, to find out why I wasn't getting pregnant. And then this bloke started talking about some problems with the blood tests. And at first I thought it was me. And then he started talking about testicles. And I thought, why are they talking about his testicles? I just couldn't take it in. And I kept saying to him, no, he's all right now. It's just a bad back. And then the next thing I knew, they took him away and they told me to go home and get some stuff. I should be in there with him now.
It's okay. Finish your tea. Calm down. Colin's with him.
Howard lies in a hospital bed.
So which one is it then?
The left one.
Howard manages a weak smile and looks away.
Look, Col. I want you to do something for me while I'm in here. Sort things out with Jackie.
Yeah.
You know you've gone completely mad with these lights, don't you?
I suppose so.
Colin lowers his eyes and sighs.
Just tell me one thing, though, will you? Why did you book a storage unit at Kayleys?
Overflow from the depot. It's Christmas.
All right. I have been a prat, haven't I? But to be honest, I think it's all tied up with work and me taking it badly when you got promoted and me being a bit, yeah, I don't know.
Jealous?
If you like. I would have preferred envious.
Of what?
Oh, the company car, extra money, you know, the lifestyle.
Listen, Colin. Let me tell you something about jealousy. The car, the pay rise, the private healthcare, the new conservatory, the holiday, everything. They can have it all back. They can have my right bollock as well if I could just have what you've got.
What?
Kids, you big dope. That's all we've ever wanted. Do you know, there's not a single day I don't look at you and the kids and think you're the luckiest sod I've ever met.
Colin swallows. He and Howard exchange a long, lingering look, and Colin extends a hand. Howard clasps it in both of his hands, and they shake. Colin's eyes glisten with tears. A tubby nurse in a plastic apron enters, and Colin stands.
Right, Mr. Scott, it's time for your shave.
Oh,
The nurse glances pointedly at his lap.
Oh.
Oh, right, well, yeah, best make a move.
Yeah, just, yeah.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Colin gives him the thumbs up and goes to leave.
Cole, the reason I got that extra storage at Kayleigh's, you know that big unit at the back of the depot?
Colin nods.
That's where I've been keeping all my lights.
Colin's stony face lights up and he springs back towards the bed.
I knew it! I knew it! I did!
Be as rough as you like, sweetheart.
Colin turns from the nurse and walks out of the room. The door closes behind him and he looks up to see an anxious Pauline approaching. He gives her a hug and she squeezes him tightly, her eyes wild with worry.
Go on.
She crosses to the door and goes to knock.
Oh, just go straight in.
She smiles and walks through the door.
Oh, sorry.
Jackie is seated in the waiting area. Colin approaches.
How is he?
He's fine.
He takes a seat near hers and looks away. She hangs her head and begins to sob.
Jackie. Hey, Jack. He's all right. He's got Sky in there, the lucky cat.
He gives her a searching look.
The word is spread. The cancer. The word it's got into his bones and...
And when what?
Colin's eyes are red. Jackie gazes at him softly.
What? He can't die, Jackie.
He blinks his glistening eyes.
You can't die just from your bollock, can you?
Jackie's face creases as she holds back tears. They hold each other tightly.
I love you.
I know.
I'm sorry I've been here, you know.
It's okay.
Tears roll down Jackie's cheeks. Colin stares off, his head resting on her shoulder. A snowy Christmas Eve. A few people linger by the entrance as Colin, Jackie, Pauline and Howard exit the hospital.
Make way there, please, make way. Russian gentleman coming through. Here he is. It's Ivan Bolikov.
Colin!
Sorry.
They cross to Colin's snow-blanketed car, and Pauline walks a smiling Howard to the front passenger side door. Jackie helps him in, and Pauline looks up in starry-eyed admiration at the falling snow. They all get in and close the car doors.
Okay, got everything? Well, I know you haven't got everything.
Right, will you stop it now?
Colin drives the car away.
So they seem quite pleased then?
Yeah, they'll give him some more tests next month, but... touch wood.
You'll be all right. Touch wood.
What are you touching that for? It's plastic.
It's walnut burr.
Bollocks.
Bollock.
Colin!
Parents and children are gathered on the snowy drive outside the Armstrongs' house. Eric, Gibbo, June, Brooke and Liam are all present.
What's all this about? What's going on?
Well, it's a special occasion. It's the big switch on tonight. Yeah, they've all come to see me lights.
I thought you put a block on all this, Jackie.
Yeah, well, I said just one last year.
Do you mind if I go straight in, Cole?
Huh?
Cole?
Come on, let's have a look. It's such a misery,
yeah, but...
Oh, come on.
They all climb out of the vehicle. Colin and Jackie round the car and stand with Gibbo and the children. Eric approaches Howard.
All right, lad?
Hi.
How are we?
You wouldn't think I just had life-threatening surgery, would you?
Right, ladies and gentlemen, I won't keep you too long, because, well, it's cold enough to freeze the air. No? Anyway, just like to thank everyone who's pulled together in what's been a very, very difficult time for me, getting all this sorted. So I'd just like to ask a very special friend of mine to step forward and do the honours. Well done, Gibbo.
Colin hands two cables to Gibbo. Howard smiles weakly and claps with the others.
Right, let's count them down!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1!
Yeah!
Gibbo connects the power cables and the Armstrongs' house lights up.
Isn't that fantastic?
Oh, yeah, they're great, yeah.
Do you mind if we make a move? Go indoors.
Alright. Smiling, Jackie stands beside Colin, his eyes fixed on Howard. Colin holds out a plastic box with a red switch on it. All eyes are on Howard, who glances about, perplexed.
What's going on?
Colin beckons Brooke and Liam over, and Brooke takes the switch box. Liam and Brooke present it to Howard.
Welcome home, Uncle Howard.
Yeah, welcome home.
What's this?
Liam and Brooke go back to Colin and Jackie and turn to look at Howard.
Switch it on.
Go on. Switch it on.
He turns the switch and looks up at the Armstrongs' house. The words Peace on Earth light up in large letters beneath a glowing angel and a star rigged up on the roof with scaffolding. The angel appears to shoot a trail of light through the air to the Scott's house, which is decorated with an illuminated image of the Nativity and the words, Goodwill to all men. Fireworks shoot into the sky between the two houses. Pauline gives Howard a kiss, says something to him and slips away. He stares at Colin with a look of gratitude. The two men hold each other's gaze as the onlookers clap.
Welcome home, Howard.
Colin goes over to Howard and they hug tightly. Howard closes his eyes. The gathered onlookers hug each other too. Colin and Howard separate and they both look up, teary-eyed at the fireworks display.
Well done, mate. Oh. You've excelled yourself. You'll have to go some top this next year.
Yeah, well, I sort of promised Jackie that this would be the end of it.
Oh, fair enough.
Although I have got my eye on something I saw in a magazine from America. It's a big spaceship.
No way. Spaceship?
Spaceship. Smoke and everything. It's even got aliens in it. It's a massive rig, but...
Well, you don't have to worry about that. I'll be here to help you, won't I? God willing.
Of course you will. You and me. Together.
Howard puts his arm around Colin, and they beam at one another before turning their attentions to the dazzling lights. One year later, Colin sits with Liam and Brooke in a hospital corridor. Now a toddler, Leighton sits on Eric's knee beside them. Colin ruffles Liam's hair and looks around as two nurses pass. Wearing a colourful stripy top with a plunging neckline, her long fair hair now straight, Jackie steps from a doorway and beckons them over. They all rise from their seats and file past her. Pauline reclines in a hospital bed, nursing a newborn baby in her arms. Seated beside her, Howard beams.
Go on.
Liam, Brooke and Eric go over to the bed. Eric lays a gentle hand on Pauline's shoulder. Holding Leighton, Jackie beams and hands a camera to a nurse.
Can we take a picture for us? Thanks. Come on, everyone. Hi, come on, big smiles.
Gathered around Pauline and her newborn baby, they all smile for the camera. A caption says, Merry Christmas, ITFC audio description.